Welcome to the MS Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source of inspiring information concerning multiple sclerosis, fitness, and health. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people living with MS and fitness professionals worldwide on the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. I'm Maureen Manley, your host, exercise scientist, and director of integrated wellness here at the MS Fitness Challenge. Today, we have two special guests with us who are going to share why they are on a mission to accelerate the individual and global health benefits of following a plant-based diet. They will also share their thoughts on how specifically a plant-based diet can benefit people living with MS. Dr. Ken Kaufman is the founder and director of Sarasota Sports Medicine, a chiropractic and functional nutrition clinic. Dr. Kaufman has helped thousands of individuals, professional athletes, and celebrities recover from physical injuries and help them overcome chronic degenerative health conditions through a plant-based nutrition. Through his own personal experience and extensive knowledge in nutritional research, he now dedicates his expertise to guiding his patients and developing technologies to help individuals achieve optimal health. Also joining us is Heather Hackett. Heather has given 20 years to inspiring and promoting others to lead an active, healthy, and rewarding lifestyle. As a book publisher, author, trainer, and featured sports nutrition writer, she has educated and empowered both children and adults in making life-changing choices. She has also evolved her knowledge and expertise in plant-based nutrition and the countless benefits plant-based nutrition has on individuals while also having a global impact. Together, Heather and her husband, Dr. Kaufman, co-founded Optimize Health and are launching the Optimize app. The Optimize app supports people in following a plant-based diet and is part of their mission to accelerate the plant-based movement to inspire global change. Dr. Kaufman and Heather, welcome to the show. It's fantastic to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mo.
Yeah, it is awesome to have you guys with us. You know, there's so much talk about plant-based diets and with the global crisis that we're facing, it's really timely to talk with the both of you. So again, thank you for being here. And, you know, so much of us that listen to, we're hearing more about plant-based nutrition and we just have a lot of questions about how exactly do you do this? So it's great to have you here helping us break this down and make sense of it for ourselves and just really help us understand why it is that we would want to follow something like this. So Dr. Kaufman, I know that you are following a plant-based diet and I'm curious about what got you started and interested in doing that.
Well, really the final straw for me was the Game Changers, the documentary, The Game Changers. I've always been an athlete and into fitness. I played baseball. I water skied. I weightlifted, did, you know, all kinds of activities. And I was also always doubtful of a plant-based diet just because, you know, like the questions that everybody has, where you're going to get your protein, you're not going to have enough energy. And after I watched The Game Changers, it was literally a game changer for me. And while we were watching it, when we got finished, I was like, okay, that's it. We're going plant-based. And, you know, Heather had been plant-based before and followed a, you know, very, very good, clean, healthy diet. But when I brought that up, she was all in. And I was lucky because since she's done it before and she's into nutrition and is an expert in this field, It was just so much easier for me. And, but that's what she can, you know, bring to your listeners is how to make things nice and easy and implement it in a really, really solid way. So
I can throw down in the kitchen when it comes to plant-based.
Absolutely. So that's really what got me into it.
Yeah. Well, for anyone who hasn't watched the documentary Game Changer, it's really amazing. It really helps to really blow apart your belief system in needing to eat meat for protein. And we'll talk more about that because there is a lot of cultural teaching to kind of undo here. And so basically, Dr. Kaufman, can you tell us, you know, in a simple way, the benefits of following a plant-based diet?
Well, I mean, there's a tremendous number of benefits following a plant-based diet, but really, I think the biggest thing, and when it comes to physical health, is the when you switch over to animal or switch over from animal proteins to plant-based proteins and plant-based foods, your inflammatory levels of your body dramatically reduce. And wow. For any chronic degenerative disease, if you look at all the, you know, chronic diseases, if either neurodegenerative, if they're cardiovascular, kidney, musculoskeletal, it doesn't matter. It's all inflammatory based diseases. And so by reducing the amount of inflammatory foods you're eating, you dramatically reduce that systemic inflammation in the body. And so that allows the body to function at a much higher level and heal the way it's supposed to heal, which, the body is a self-healing organism. So if we reduce the stress to the system, it's going to heal more effectively.
Wow. That's amazing. You say it so succinctly and so well. And I also can imagine people scratching their heads going, wait, what? Nobody told me that before, mm-hmm. That this meat was causing inflammation and I didn't have to be doing that to my body. So it really is a process of growing your understanding of what we're eating, what it's doing. And then of course, we're going to get into the nitty gritty of how to, start to work with these things. As soon as we will build the why of why you would want to do this, of course. And then, the challenge is really the how of it. So mm-hmm. Dr. Kaufman, I'm curious about when you started, after you watched The Game Changer and you had Heather's support, which is fantastic. What surprised you when you began to follow a plant-based diet?
Well, I think the biggest thing that surprised me is how fast my physiology changed. Prior to going plant-based, we'd go on bike rides in the middle of August in Florida. We're in Western Florida. And, we'd go on bike rides when it's 90 some odd degrees. And I would get, almost 90 minutes, hour and a half into a bike ride and just totally bonk. Like, my vision was starting to close in on me. I was dizzy, a couple times had to stop at a store and try to get some, Heather nuts. Would go in and get some nuts or something just to give me some food.
He was in bad shape.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, once I went plant-based, literally the next week we went on a bike ride and my speed was up 20% and we went, 2 hours, I think, and without any problems. So, prior to that, Heather would be behind me and she'd be like kind of coasting along like, okay, this is easy.
And then I have to haul it.
And then she had to keep up with me. So it was incredible. And then the other thing, which is really what is hard for people to grasp but understand, but it relates to the inflammatory and inflammation component, is that I actually increased my muscle mass.
Yeah. Say that again.
Yeah. I increased my muscle mass. So I went from a more of a ketogenic type diet where it was higher in fat and protein and lower in carbohydrates and to a plant-based diet. And I increased my muscle mass. And, a lot of times people will say, well, how can that be? And that relates to the fact that when you're eating foods that are inflammatory, when you exercise, you're creating more inflammation. And if you remove one source of that inflammation, your body can recover faster. And there's also, research and that shows that, decreasing that inflammation and going, off of animal proteins and animal foods increases your circulation, your microcapillary circulation, which brings more blood and oxygen to the tissues, which allows you to have more endurance and recover faster from weight training.
Right. Right. Wow. And I say right, because I understand that because I've done my research into this sort of thing. And you're saying it so succinctly and precisely in a way that listeners can really understand what you're saying. And I'm a cyclist. I use interesting metaphors. I want to backpedal here a little bit when you were talking about your rides with Heather and some of the things that you were experiencing, sort of the lack of energy and the blur, almost a funky vision stuff. For the MS, for somebody with MS that is listening, those are symptoms of MS. So I want to be clear here. Well, I'll ask you the question. Do you have MS?
No, I do not.
Okay. So I just wanted to make that clear for our listeners because, you were scaring us. Well, you know, if I eat plant-based, it's all going to go away. Well, it might, but not like you were expecting.
Not like that. Yeah. I don't suffer from MS, but you know, the effect of, and the symptoms that I was having from, basically a bonk, and anyone that's ever done any long distance endurance type of exercise in the heat, they know what a bonk is, because
yes,
you do that.
So I'm an endurance athlete, and I understand the bonk. And it's interesting that one way not to bonk is to make sure you're eating correctly while exercising, and with following a plant-based diet, what sort of things do you eat when you're exercising now? And not that there's a lot of, meat in, exercise nutrition bars and stuff like that, but what do you encourage people to eat while they're training, in order to decrease the inflammation and not bring about inflammation?
Well, I mean, the effect that eating a plant-based diet or any diet or any, let's just step back and take a bigger view of it. The effect of overall dietary patterns are what's going to affect what's going on in training, during training, after training, and so forth, and your recovery. So it's not necessarily, what are you going to fuel yourself with at a particular time during training, although that does play a role. The big global thing is your dietary pattern, throughout every day.
Right.
So, specifically during long training and endurance rides, you're looking at taking in electrolytes. And I'm not talking electrolytes from Gatorade or Powerade, because that's garbage. It's
right.
Just
thank
junk.
You.
Bad for you. There's nothing nutritionally value to it. In fact, and I'll digress a little bit. When they designed Gatorade and at the University of Florida, they actually tested the sweat concentration or the mineral concentration or electrolyte concentration of the athletes. And then they created a formula to replace that. The problem is that the human body cannot absorb in the intestines what is lost through the skin. It doesn't work. So they have to water it down so much in order to absorb it, you have to pull electrolytes out of the blood, which bonks you even more. So,
right.
So anyway, so forms of electrolytes, which you can get, Hammer Nutrition has a really good, electrolyte replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that I'd like to add in is that a lot of people think that protein gives them energy, and the human body can process amino acids and make energy, but it's 20 times less efficient than just converting carbohydrates and glycogen to energy. And it's even, it's not as efficient even as mobilizing fat from the fat cells to create glucose and, gluconeogenesis for energy levels.
Right.
So, any protein that you're taking in is made for, the repair of the tissues. It doesn't give you energy. That's a big misnomer that, misunderstanding that people have.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's, I can also see people understanding in a bigger way, just what's going on with our nutrition and mostly why we should be fueling our bodies in a certain way. So thank you for that. So Heather, let's dive in with you. How long have you been following a plant-based diet, and why are you so passionate about sharing the benefits of it?
Well, I love it. And I got into it, well, for a lot of different reasons, but for me, my background, when I was about 20, I was about 200 pounds. So I learned way back because I had to learn about nutrition. And, back then it was like Muscle Fitness HERS, that's what came out. And so again, there was the, it was the low fat, high protein diet, like the bodybuilding diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed that, for a long time, but there's only so long you can do that. And, so for me, it was more of the more you learn about nutrition, the more you learn about nutrition. And I even had a business that was, nutrition and fitness for kids and adults and all that stuff. And the more you get into it, the more you get into it. And the more I get into it, the more I realized what foods weren't good for you that I thought were good for me, and what foods were good for me, and, kind of where I wanted to be. And, my whole importance and impact is on health. It's not, you know, just because you're skinny doesn't mean you're healthy, you know? So the big thing now is health. And, especially with, Ken and I getting together and, you know, he's 14 years older than me. So I told him, I said, well, I want to live to 100. So you have to live to 114. And in doing that, the plant-based
deal.
Yeah. And you look at it now where, you know, we're happy people and we want longevity. And when it comes down to it, if you want longevity, you got to go plant-based.
Yeah. Well, you guys are clear on that. So I'm curious, Heather, and I talked with Dr. Kaufman a little bit about this. Is we've been so enmeshed and really schooled in our culture. And we see things like on TV that, you know, milk builds strong bones and we get our protein from meat. And many people have a hard time kind of undoing this paradigm of thinking. So I'm curious of how you work with people to break that belief system and embrace the idea of following a plant-based diet.
Well, it's different. And then, you know, I also kind of ask them, you know, when they ask where I get my protein, I say, well, where do you get your nutrients? You know, because most people there, you know, I mean, they don't know how I can live without meat yet. I don't know how they can live without vegetables, you know, to the point where, you know, most people that tell us if we're out somewhere and they say, well, where do you get your protein? They're down in a dozen wings, you know, or they're eating something that isn't the healthiest in the world. And I'm looking at their plate going, you have nothing green on your plate whatsoever. You know, there's no nutrients at all. And, and the biggest thing is, you know, at the end of the day, it's about nutrients. And, you know, if you look at calories, people, you know, we're consuming more calories, as a society than we ever had before. I mean, it's obvious.
Yes.
You know, where I always tell people, you know, look at the size of individuals at Woodstock. You know, back then there was an overweight person in the crowd. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where it's just unhealthy now. And the commercials and the advertisements that say, you know, beef, it's what's for dinner and here's your dairy, let's throw it on a burger. And here's your, you know, I mean, the obscene amounts of quote unquote food, is ridiculous, you know, to where, you know, it's be a man, eat protein or whatever, you know, they want to talk about. But at the end of the day, they're salespeople just like anybody else, you know, and they want their product to sell, you know, where, you know, that's how they make their money. That's how they get their bread and butter. No pun intended on the butter. But, you know, I mean, it really is to where, you know, when you break it down and when you put the science to it, you know, the only way that you're going to get all your nutrients is through the diet. And I usually explain it to people where every day you start with a checklist, you know, where your body doesn't necessarily want food. Your body craves nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
You start with this checklist and you think you're hungry. Okay, great. So you have a Pop-Tart. Okay, fine. Your body consumes that. Nothing off the checklist, no vitamin A, D, whatever. I mean, you know, they may say, oh, now it has calcium because they sprinkle a little calcium powder in there, but that's about it. You know, so you have, you know, you get a little hungry later, you have a donut at the office, you get a little hungry later, you have a Starbucks, you know, I call the glorified milkshake, you know, so you have one of those,
yeah.
You know, and in essence, you're eating all this empty food, but there's nothing on this checklist that's being checked off, you know, so you keep eating and eating and eating. Where in essence, let's say on the other hand, you have like, we have our big nutrient dense, protein shakes, you know, in the morning. And of course mm-hmm. it's a vegan protein. But we have greens in there. We have fruits, we have vegetables, we have, oh my gosh, we dump everything in there. And then, you know, later on you have a kale salad. Well, you know, kale, so nutrient dense, it gives me literally like a buzz. Like I get an energy high from, you know, from all the nutrients and whatever. So, you know, that my body's checking off. We just had these big bowls for lunch. It had so many different things in there. It's checked off all the boxes. I'll be good for a while. I'll be good till, you know, we'll have like a light dinner, you know, just because of the fact that there were so many nutrients in the meal that I ate. You know, there's not an abundance of calories where most people think you need a ton of calories or this big piece of protein, but you know, you really need nutrients. And I try to explain that way in a way that they can kind of understand it, but.
Yeah, that's great to really think about with your diet to, you know, to re-educate a belief system or somebody just beginning to think about their diet and the effect on their body is looking at a piece of food or a meal and saying, where am I getting my nutrition here? And it's a great, and for people like us, it's fun, and it may not be as fun for them to start with, but it's a way to learn like, what does, how much protein and how much vitamin, you know, all the different vitamins, like, what am I getting out of this? And also asking yourself, where do I plan to get this nutrition that I need? Right. It's a really smart way to help people educate themselves and know that, and really empower them to equip them and empower them to, you know, really take on, well, first we all need to take responsibility for our health. And this is how we do it, is by educating ourselves and challenging our assumptions of what we've been taught by, the marketing machine that is, you know, the dairy industry and the meat industry, they're making a lot of money, and they have the marketing funds to throw out a lot of advertisement. So we need to take responsibility and get clear ourselves what it is that we need to do for ourselves to optimize our health. So
absolutely.
So Heather, here's something to help people kind of understand. We hear things like plant-based diet and, you know, or somebody might say, I'm a vegan or I'm a vegetarian. Can you tease those apart for us and let us know what exactly you're advocating for? I mean, what's the difference between a vegetarian and a vegan and somebody who follows a plant-based diet?
Sure. Yeah. Plant-based is I think a relatively new term that people are kind of unfamiliar with. People typically know vegetarian. That's been around longer, you know, as far as I guess in our society goes, but vegetarian means you can eat dairy. So, you know, anybody that says, oh, I'm, you know, I don't eat meat, but I'm vegetarian or, but I eat dairy, that's a vegetarian, you know? So that's someone that just adds that milk factor. And then as far as vegan goes, vegan can be the extreme to where it's nothing from an animal. So that's no leather, no honey, that's no animal products of any type. However, it doesn't negate chemicals. So technically Oreos are vegan, you know, right, because there's no dairy or anything in it. But plant-based goes a little further in the extent where, that is still no food from any animal, you know, to where we don't do milk. We don't do meat, obviously, but we believe that the food should come from plants itself. So Oreos are not plant-based, you know, Oreo does not grow on a tree.
Yeah, right.
You know, there is no way, shape or form. So really, I mean, our food is real food. You know, we really try to stay away from anything with the chemicals that, I mean, there's some additives in a lot of stuff, but, you know, we really try to make sure, like, again, our lunch, I mean, it is the most nutrient dense. I mean, every ingredient in that meal was, it was, you know, grown, and even the dressing, was completely handmade, you know, and when it says ginger, it's real ginger, and the dressings have maybe, you know, 5 ingredients in it. And it's a bigger difference than if you go to any of the dressings that are, you know, that's always an interesting one. Go to the dressings in the grocery store and see what they have there. They're a hot mess. So
they are.
It's terrible. So if you can't eat every ingredient by itself, you know, it's not plant-based, right, you know, basically. So when we go to restaurants, I mean, you know, yes, technically they, you know, some places have like black bean burgers or impossible burgers or, you know, burgers that are, heck, I think even McDonald's has a McPlant. You know, would I eat it? No.
Absolutely. So tell us why you wouldn't eat it.
Because, well, one, I don't do McDonald's unless I'm traveling somewhere and need to go to the bathroom. That's about it. But it's just, it's not, the quality is not there. You know, there is not a quality item, in my opinion, on that menu. So yes, it is vegan, you know, so to speak, in the fact that it doesn't have any animal products, but I have not looked at all the ingredients. I just find it very hard to believe that it would be plant-based, because if that's the case, it would mold very quickly, very easily. And it would be way too expensive, I think, for their menu. So,
right.
I don't think they would do it. And even the bread, the quality or lack thereof of the bread they would put it on would be enough to turn me off, you know,
sure,
for that. I mean, you know, Ken and I don't do gluten. We don't do, you know, if we're going to do like a lavish or a something like that, you know, we know where it comes from, and we make sure it's, again, you know, every item on there is a real ingredient, you know, that is grown from the ground in some way, shape or form.
Sure. So what I'm hearing, Heather, from you is that it's not about what fits into either a vegetarian or quote unquote plant-based diet, because there are, you know, things like the Impossible Burger and other plant-based forms of burgers. But your point, what I'm hearing is it's not about those, just that those things exist. It's about, are those things healthy?
Correct. Yeah, correct.
And
if you look at, oh, go ahead.
Well, the point, what you're saying, the point is to eat healthy foods that aren't going to create inflammation. And the, you know, the Impossible Burger, from what I've read about it, is it, you know, it helps with the carbon footprint. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's not much healthier than a burger from what I understand. So yeah, you helping, you know, this versus that, you're helping with the carbon footprint, but don't, perhaps it's not the best way of thinking that it's going to be healthier for you because Correct. It's plant based.
Yeah. And unquote. Even there, I mean, we don't even do oil, you know, we totally stopped oil as well. And that's something that you can, you know, even in the fake cheeses, you know, a lot of the vegan cheese, it's like 50 shades of oil. I mean, it's just crazy how many types of oil and fats they can put in something, mm-hmm. you know, right. where yes, okay, it's technically not dairy, but am I going to eat it? Absolutely not. You know, and a lot of people say, well, what do you do for cheese, or what do you, well, nutritional yeast, you know, or what do you do for sugar? Well, for what, you know, that's always my question. Yeah. Why do I eat sugar in? you know, I mean that now we do, once in a blue moon, we do honey, you know, vegans believe that you shouldn't have honey, but, we actually talked about it on our bike ride this morning and I'm all for honey just for the simple fact that, you know, there's a lot of health benefits to it. You know, allergies, whatever, you know, but also the fact that bees are so important in our society that I'm afraid that if someone thinks we have no need for them, you know, and does not do honey, that they're not going to want to keep them around, and we definitely need them. So I think, you know, Ken's whole thing is,
my whole thing is what is a bee going to do anyway?
Yeah. What are they going to do anyway? If they're not, if they're not making honey, or they'd be, that's just what they do, you
right.
know, and it's only that do.
Beekeepers. So we shouldn't blacklist them because it's right, not right. awful by any means.
Yeah. Beekeepers yes. love them. You know, yes. they treat them, you know, well, so them. I'm completely for honey, for many reasons, but yeah, I mean, you look at,
in moderation, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you put a little bit in tea, you know, that's one thing, but you know, if someone asks me a substitute for sugar, I want to know what they feel they need it in first, because, you know, there isn't anything we eat that needs it, you know? So, that tells me, you know, again, what their diet looks like. You know, I can tell what their habits are before, you know, they even get into detail.
Yeah. And I'm sure you work with people in, you know, our palates change when we kind of evolve in a healthier way of eating, and you feel like you need it because you're used to it, but you don't. And we can talk a little bit about that in a bit, but I want to throw a question to Dr. Kaufman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been talking a lot of good stuff about, you know, the benefits of a plant-based diet, but can you tell us, you spoke to it a little bit earlier, but more specifically for somebody living with MS, why would they want to think about following a plant-based diet?
Yeah. I mean, it really comes down to the inflammation again, and the inflammatory foods that, you know, typical, you know, standard American diet has. When you have a neurodegenerative condition, you know, giving your body's innate healing capacity the ability to not have to deal with, you know, this chronic inflammation that keeps entering into the system day after day after day, meal after meal, you know, frees up those resources for the body to, you know, heal the way it's supposed to heal. So I think for anyone with any neurodegenerative condition, and, you know, some of the research kind of backs this up, you know, reducing that inflammation. And the other interesting thing is in it's fascinating, the research coming out about the microbiome and how right. the microbiome, you know, creates, ancillary, toxic chemicals that are another stress to the body, that are, you know, not just, you know, not just inflammatory, but they're toxic. So, you know, going back to looking at, you know, as Heather was just saying, on a plant-based diet, it's also eliminating chemicals because you're eating real food, but you're eliminating chemicals and toxins in the foods that you're bringing into your body. And so that in itself, you know, removing those toxins in the United States, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know in the United States, they allow way more chemicals in food processing than in other countries. And so, you know, by going more plant-based in your diet, eliminating dairy, eliminating the meat, it reduces that stress load to the nervous system, you know, brain function, cardiovascular system, every system of the body.
Right.
And so that's why I think anyone that has, you know, any neurodegenerative condition, in particular MS, would benefit from, you know, improving their diet this way.
Great. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. So Heather, here's a question feeding off of what Dr. Coffin just shared. So in theory, we are hearing the whys and the benefits of a plant-based diet, and there's this, you know, switching, having MS and having the symptoms of fatigue and just being overwhelmed by the idea of changing a diet. So what would you suggest on how people would start?
Usually I say start with the most common meals that you make. Most people make the same 8 meals throughout the week, or really throughout their life for that most part. Mm-hmm. But you know, they have those staples, they have the things that they like, you know, and it's taking something as simple as, let's say, pasta, for example. A lot of people make pasta. Okay, great. The first thing I'm going to tell you is, you know, most people add some type of protein on it. You know, I'm going to say, all right, let's first start with replacing the protein. You know, that you can do one thing that goes really well with pasta. You know, if you like, you know, let's say a meat sauce, you do lentils. If you like, you know, like the lighter, you actually go with a white bean, you know, that actually goes really good with tomato sauce. Okay, great. So now you have a little bit of protein in there. Then I'm going to tell you to do either less noodles, or I'm going to tell you to do zucchini noodles, you know, either way. So you're either making like the, you know, white pasta portion smaller, or you're replacing it altogether with a vegetable. And then even in addition, add some more vegetables to the sauce, you know, add some spinach, add some carrots, add some onion, add some fresh garlic, you know, add some mushrooms, add some squash and zucchini. And I mean, oh my gosh, it's
a whole bulb of garlic.
We cook all, we love our garlic, but yeah, I mean, you're really gonna, you know, make that as nutrient dense as possible, you know, to where you're adding more vegetables and it's still taking that same recipe. So they're going, oh, well, I can do that, you know, mm-hmm. And it's really doing the small changes, increase the portion of vegetables, decrease the portion of protein, and really just start there. And a lot of people realize that, you know, once you start to do that, once you start to eliminate, you know, whether the meat or the dairy, you know, the dairy is easy. We make, in fact, we're making them tonight. We make our own pizzas, but the biggest thing with that is, what do you do for cheese? Well, cheese is only an adhesive, really. You know, I mean, that it glues everything down together. And other than that, it really doesn't serve much of a purpose, you know, except adding a lot of, you know, saturated fat. But, so what we do is, you know, we make it with a ton of vegetables. You know, we add vegetable kebab. So we have peppers left, we have mushrooms, onions. So we'll put, you know, that on a pizza with some olives or whatever, and then, you know, sprinkle some nutritional yeast on there. You know, if we want more of, again, if we want more of a meat sauce, like if Ken wants it a little heavier, I'll put some lentils in the sauce, you know, mix that together and use that. And, you know, then you have a really dense meal, you know? So it just is taking like the little, it's small steps. I mean, it really isn't that difficult when you look at every meal. So you really just have to look at one by one. You can't look at, you know, and say, oh my gosh, for the rest of my life, I can't have this or I can't have that, because that's what you're going to want. But, right. You know, you just go, okay, you know, for the meal right now, what do I do? You know, and there's even restaurants we go to where we'll get a pizza with no cheese, or we'll get, you know, I mean, there's a lot of options that you can do.
Well, let me interject here, because, this is so easy, even I could do it. And that's, you know, on the weekend, Heather will take and batch cook vegetables, lentils, mm-hmm. quinoa, to where
sweet potatoes.
So we even got extra racks for our oven. So, you know, we got, I don't know, five of those things going at one time. To where she, you know, puts her root vegetables that take a little longer in first and then, you know, seasoned up and just bake them in the oven. And then, you know, put the potatoes in and then some other, other vegetables. Mm-hmm. And then we got a whole batch so we can do mix and match of bowls for lunch. Cause we're busy, you know, we're, you know, running to the office and, you know, doing things like that. So, you know, add some avocado, nutritional yeast again. Nutritional yeast should be a food group in and of itself. So, love that stuff. If you're not familiar with it, it's loaded with B vitamins, mm-hmm. and it has a cheesy, nutty flavor to it. So it's great, you know, on pizzas and pastas.
They'll put it on
bowls.
Everything.
Yeah, and
people put it on popcorn. Yeah, it's. I mean, really
but it's,
good.
Those types of things really, I think, make it easy for. Like I said, you know, if you know, so easy, I could do that. You know, type of thing.
You do pay attention, don't you?
Yeah, I do pay attention. When I'm marrying you.
Yeah. So. Even there, you know, like the oven racks, I mean, talk about a great purchase. I now have five oven racks in my oven, which it's like I have double ovens. That's a great purchase for anybody too. But really it is planning, you know, and once you get to that part, okay, does it take time? Sure. But is it 1 to 2 hours for the whole week? Yeah. And vegetables last longer, you know, so I'm not cooking as often as I do before because things tend to have a longer shelf life. So it's definitely a win-win.
That's great. So what I heard so beautifully in understanding the psychology of change is you're inviting people to take small, doable steps that they believe they can achieve at. That's so important. Sure. By just looking at this and also looking at all the variations of things that people can do. And you guys are illustrating that beautifully about getting excited about all the different possibilities that there are, because what happens with people with diet, so often they think they get in the mindset of everything, everything is taken away from them, where you can look at all the variety and possibilities that you have. And, you know, to the extent that you can get excited about that, not only is it, you know, fun to, you know, create new recipes and look at things that you can do. And it's very much a can do lean in instead of lean away from, because leaning in and getting excited about following a diet that can be fun. It really can be. You guys are a great illustration of that. And it's going to radically benefit your health. But the game plan that you create that you're illustrating so well is one that is one, doable, and two, that is fun. So that's great. Thank you so much. So Heather, I have a question for you around. And I've worked with a lot of people with MS, and one of the challenges people have is that they can get excited about making lifestyle changes, but they're part of a family that isn't. They're fine. They're good with, you know, eating meat and all that kind of stuff. So what would you suggest to somebody who wants to follow a plant-based diet or explore it more, and their family isn't really willing to do that?
This is my favorite. Are you kidding me? I used to work with kids and families. So, you know, all day long, as far as getting the kids involved, that's usually easier. You know, just because it's the fact that, you know, if most kids, they want to help you, you know, so if you say, hey, you know what, I want to get the family healthier, can you help me? You know, I want to start eating more vegetables. I want to start, you know, just incorporating more, you know, real food and, you know, kicking some of this bad stuff out. The kids will usually jump on it. Now there are some that, you know, they are addicted to sugar already or do have, you know, food sensitivity problems or, you know, or not food sensitivity problems, but their taste buds almost change, you know, depending on how much they're embedded in the sugar life. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, thank you. for the most part, kids want to help. So really with that point, you know, you just approach them that you want to help the family and usually they're on board. So, you know, if you take them to the grocery store, depending on their age and your patience level, you know, if you take them to the grocery store and tell them to pick a new fruit or pick a new vegetable or pick whatever, they take ownership in it. So it's something they're going to probably try more than likely because they're there and they chose it, you know? So if they chose it, if they're excited about it, you know, they're going to try it more than if you bring it home and say, hey, look what I found, a rutabaga, you know, they're going to whatever. But really that part, and even there, you know, to where, and even, and, you know, most, I can't say, you know, stereotype and say women cook more. My dad can definitely throw down in the kitchen, but you know, it's just to the point too, where whoever is cooking wears the pants, you know, when it comes down to it. I don't want to say, you know, this is what I'm cooking, but you eat it. But, you know, in hindsight, this is what I'm cooking and you eat it, you know, otherwise, you know, you can start making or you can start cooking, and you have to just, again, do it slowly, you know, where the only way it's going to stick, in my opinion, is if it's done slowly anyway,
right?
You know, especially when you have the whole family, nobody likes to, you know, have the boat completely flipped over. Mm-hmm. So really just start small. You know, and then they're not going to notice, or they're going to like the fact that, hey, look, there's spinach in the pasta today. Or, hey, look, there's, oh, look at these zucchini noodles instead. You know, you can really go small and just keep doing those baby steps. And, you know, in my opinion, in my experience, that's definitely the easiest as far as getting the whole family on board. And even, you know, the woman that works with us, Angela, you know, her, she's plant-based and her husband's not. And, you know, but she does, you know, a couple nights a week, she'll do, you know, a plant-based, or I'm sorry, she'll do, you know, give him a piece of, you know, meat or fish or something small. But, you know, for the most part, most of his meals are plant-based, you know, and that's gone little by little, you know, and it's respecting the fact that, you know, I'm not pushing this at you, but, you know, I'm really, you know, kind of working together, working with you. And most taste buds will change to where, you know, even Josh, Dr. Josh, the one that we worked with, you know, he started eating more plant-based. And then all of a sudden he went to get a roll up in the refrigerator. He went to get a turkey roll up and he's like, oh, this turkey's kind of gross, you know? So it definitely starts, you know, it starts to work with you, and your body starts to crave the vegetables as well. So that's just a bonus, right? You know, where Ken, Mr. Keto here, who used to have meat and butter, and I've got everything at butter sauce and whatever. And, you know, he got to a point where, you know, it really was, you know, I'm thinking this is going to be a challenge because he's so used to meat and cheese. And now to say he loves the meals that we make is an understatement. I mean, he literally, I mean, groans at times because he's enjoying it so much. I mean, it's phenomenal, you know? Well, so it's really fun to watch.
There's just so much more.
And he can eat a heck of a lot more than he could before. Before it was, you know, you couldn't do fruits, you couldn't do beans, you couldn't do potatoes, you couldn't do any of that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, where now he can do fruits, you can do beans. I mean, we got back from a bike ride today. He had an apple, I had an orange. Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can do that stuff where before, you know, bodybuilding diet, you were afraid of sugar, you were afraid of fat, you know, but at least, you know, here we can do nuts. We can do seeds. You're supposed to, you know, so you're supposed to do that stuff and you're supposed to have fruit and, you know, so it's really easy. We don't have to count calories. We don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. It's just eating.
Exactly. It's food. We want to come up with food.
What I hear too, Heather, when you shared with us about the family and getting them involved, instead of, nobody likes to have things done to them. And especially young kids, you know, that's where they can exercise their boundaries more, is when you involve them, you're also teaching them a healthy lifestyle. And again, I like to play games and keep things fun. It's, you know, you can involve your kids in saying, you know, with the shopping, and then also saying, what kind of nutrition are we getting out of this? And what kind of protein are we getting? Or where should we get our protein tonight? And just have it be a fun family activity where it really is about lifestyle, fun, and health.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's great. Get them involved, get everybody involved. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Kaufman, this is a question, I'll pose this question to you, but I know that it's both you and Heather that are passionate about accelerating the plant-based movement. Why is it important? Why do you guys feel it's important to accelerate the plant-based movement?
Well, I, you know, I've been a chiropractor for 28, 29 years, been in practice and helped, you know, thousands of people with, you know, recover from injuries and that type of thing and get back to their field of play and whatnot. But seeing people and how nutrition can impact their entire physiology, not just their physical injury, but also their sports performance, their mental clarity, their reversing chronic diseases, you know, like diabetes, and, you know, reversing, you know, all these really things that are killing us. I mean, no one's going to die from a torn rotator cuff, but people are dying from heart disease and diabetes and obesity and you know, all these dangerous degenerative conditions. And I feel that I can take, you know, and I'm still practicing right now, but I really feel that, you know, my knowledge and expertise can really have more of an impact through the technologies and what we're doing of, you know, in getting more people on plant-based eating, not only for physical well-being, but also for the global footprint. So, you know, the effect of deforestation, because, you know, most of the lands are cleared for deforestation to create grazing areas for cattle or grow food for cattle. And if we can start to have an impact on that, it, you know, is, you know, pretty exciting. And the fact that we're seeing these, you know, like we talked about the Beyond Burgers and some of these other plant-based meat alternatives that are coming out. There's tons of them coming out on the market, which to me tells me that even the industry, the food industry, is starting to see the, you know, where the wind's blowing. Mm-hmm. Even though it's still there, you know, there's still food processors that are trying to make money. You know, they're not going to put the money behind something that there's no market for it. So I think, you know, helping to teach people the real way to do it, to make sure they're eating real foods, to be really healthy, not eating plant-based junk food, because there's plenty of plant-based junk food out there, you know, can really have an impact on, you know, people's health, the environment, animals. And, you know, it's just something that we're both passionate about.
Wow. That's great. So Heather, what are you and Dr. Kaufman doing, or what are you guys up to? I mentioned it a little bit in your intro. What are you guys up to with some of your business and the way that you can help support people with this plant-based diet, and how can they get involved?
Sure. We like helping a lot of people, you know, in any way we possibly can. And most of all, you know, nutrition, it's something, you know, clearly we can talk about for, you know, at length, I guess. And really it comes down to the fact that you have to be able to reach more people on a bigger scale. You know, we like to give people roots and wings. We don't want them to be dependent on us. We like to teach them, you know, and both of us really have a strong, like, love for teaching people. So, with that, we really came up with, after years of trial and error and morphing and massaging and whatever, we came up with, the Optimize app, and we're really proud of this app just because of the fact that it provides a platform, you know, for people to go and find information about the plant-based, diet, but it's factual information. If there's one thing I know about Ken, you know, he is adamant, that the information that he gives to people, his patients or whoever, you know, is factual, you know, meaning it wasn't, you know, sponsored or, you know, funded by, you know, some industry. It was legitimate, you know, proven by science, you know, and research, and what do you call it? Science-based. It's science-based more than it is, like, you know, funded.
Marketed-based.
So, yeah. And really, so our platform, our Optimize app, you know, gives us a way that, you know, I'm a writer, so I've written all the content, and, you know, between Ken and I, we've really provided a really good solid base of information for people of why they should go plant-based, how to go plant-based, just like information that we've shared with you. We put on that as well. We're putting a plant-based jumpstart on there. We're also in the process of adding all of the plant-based, and as many, you know, plant-based and vegan restaurants that we possibly can. But we have a great time with it. So, you know, even just like your social media platform, we have that component on there where we have an activity wall where they can see everything that's going on. We also have, you know, the channels of interest, which is, you know, just the content there where if they want to learn anything, we have a ton of recipes. We're always adding new recipes. And then, you know, like I said, the restaurant feature, you know, so that's nice. We're plugging and playing more restaurants every day on that one. But we really want to provide that avenue for people that's just solid, you know, science-based information and just really good. I mean, you know, am I missing anything?
Well, Heather also wrote a 70-page plant-based jumpstart manual that kind of takes people through the, you know, kind of the 1-2-3, the mindset for change, the how to make the diet one, you know, as easy as 1-2-3, mm-hmm. literally, tools and tricks and you know, utensils for the kitchen that are kind of must-haves to that, you know, make things easier. Yeah. And so that
that will be on there as
that'll
well.
Be on there as well.
It's taking the stress out. In essence, at the end of the day, people have enough things to worry about, and especially something that we can simplify like this that has such a big impact on your health and on your longevity. Why wouldn't you do it? You know, I mean, our whole tagline and our whole, you know, mission is basically, you know, every person is put on this planet because they want to make an impact. You can't make an impact if you don't have your health, and you can't have your health if you don't have food, you know, like real food. So, you know, our tagline is, you know, optimize your food, optimize your health, optimize your impact for that reason. You know, we want you to be able to make a difference, but you know, we want to take the stress out of it. We want it to be easy. We want it to be fun. And we're good people. We want to be around good people and have good people, you know, have a place where they can be around, you know, like-minded individuals as well that are also wanting to make a difference. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So this app, is it in development or when is it going to be launched? Just what's the status?
It is live on the app stores right now.
Awesome.
We're going to have an official launch in November. We are in the process of loading in as many restaurants as we possibly can between now and November, kind of the top 10 to, you know, 20 restaurants in, you know, some of the major cities like Orlando and LA and New York and Chicago and that type of thing. It'll be a continuous work in progress, kind of like people's nutrition. It'll constantly be
kind of like all of us.
The Optimize app, and that's spelled OPTAMIZ. And it's like I said, it's on the app stores, but it's, it'll be evolving continuously and constantly being, you know, adding more content and more content partners and so forth to help people.
Yeah. Great. Well, I will put that in the show notes as well. People can know how to spell it, know how to get it, be reminded that it's there. And what I so appreciate with what you guys are up to, many things, but to take the stress out of it, because this is the MS Fitness Challenge podcast and the listeners are go-getters and they want to be healthy. And we're dealing with a significant health challenge that sometimes adding stress isn't something we exactly want to lean into. And so what you guys are doing is supporting us and taking the stress away. You're showing us that, okay, so let's take this one step at a time. Here's an app. Here's how we can support you. And it doesn't have to be a stress.
And it doesn't have to be perfect.
I thank you for that. I appreciate your work. I appreciate your passion, and I appreciate the impact that you're making in the world with your mission.
Same to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in wrapping this up, I'm curious if there's anything else you want to share with us that we didn't cover, because we don't want to leave your wisdom off the table here for all of us.
If anything if we've learned anything this past 20 months or something like that, it's critically important that individuals take responsibility for their own health and they don't hand it over to, their medical doctor, their, you know, chiropractor, their therapist, you know, their psychiatrist, or anybody else. They should, you know, they need to take control of their own health, ask questions, you know, be that person that, wants to know about, you know, the things that are going to help improve their lives and do the research. And it's easy to say, oh, do the research, but it's important to be able to sift through that research. In fact, if what we do is, you know, when I look at a research study, I don't look at just the study or just the abstract, which is most people do. I look at the entire study, then the abstract, and then I look and see who wrote it and then who funded that study. And then, you know, what, you know, if there is any ulterior motives of those authors. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, and there's even some, you know, information out there that a lot of peer reviewed studies get retracted after publication because of bias or, you know, wrong information. And one of the things that happens is, you know, one day they say that red wine is good for your cardiovascular health. And the next day another study comes out and says that it isn't. And it all is based on, you know, who's funding the studies and how they're doing it and what biases are out there. So it's just important for people to just take control of their own health, ask questions, be the, you know, be that person that, that knows what's going on, and because you can't turn your health over to somebody else.
Right. Thank you for saying that. It's so important. And if it feels overwhelming to educate yourself, it's what you and Heather were talking about. Break it down into small steps that you can take. I don't have to be a doctorate in, you know, nutritional research, but you can read this article and also read it with sometimes skeptical eyes, like who's funding this or who's promoting this. Sure. And the more you get into it, the better you get, and not to stake the claim of I'm not educated in nutrition. And, you know, I've taught wellness classes in the MS community for a very long time. And I've often heard, if when we talk about nutrition, I've heard the quote umpteen times, if this is true, why hasn't my neurologist told me?
Yeah.
And I'm clear in saying your neurologist studies this, goes to school and studies this, and this is his lane and his or her lane and wheelhouse. They can't be an expert on everything. And so, you know, you want to go to that lane, that wheelhouse, to get those questions that live there answered, and then nutrition. And if it feels overwhelming, you just break it down one step at a time, and you'll find yourself becoming more and more of an expert on your own health in time. And here at the MS Fitness Challenge, we're here to help. We bring in expertise, and we're only going to have credible people teach, be on this podcast, present at our programs. So there is a way to discern, and you build that over time. So thank you so much for sharing that. We're all a big advocate of taking responsibility for your health here. And you guys have really helped us see the light around how we can do that with a plant-based diet. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your passion, your expertise with us, and supporting us on the journey with your app, which again, will be found in the show notes if you didn't get what that is here. So that's going to be a wrap for this episode. Remember, episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available to download on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way to support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people that we can reach, the more impact we can have. As we close out, remember to visit msfitnesschallenge.com and check out all the fantastic resources we have for you there. And be sure to get involved with our awesome MS Fitness Challenge Facebook group. To all those listening, to all the warriors with MS, thank you for listening, and keep up the fight, keep striving, keep believing, and together we're going to thrive with MS.